Morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. This is the first chapter of what's famously known as the Olivet Discourse. Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus came out from the temple and was going away to his disciples, when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he answered and said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here shall be left upon another, which will not be torn down." And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and he will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. And at that time many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. And then those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to get the things out that are in his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse babes in those days. But pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall. And unless those days have been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. If therefore they say to you, 'Behold, he is in the wilderness,' do not go forth. Or 'Behold, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe him. Believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the sun of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branches already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there shall be two men in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day our Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason you be ready too, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of the household to give them the food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, 'My master is not coming for a long time,' and shall begin to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come in a day when he does not expect him, and an hour which he does not know, and he shall cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. Weeping there shall be a gnashing of teeth." Amen. So Jesus starts the discourse, and he's actually still in Jerusalem. He comes to the temple, and while he's at the temple, he begins to share with his disciples as they point out the temple, right? And Jesus says something. He basically starts the whole discussion. And he says to them, hey, you know, you see this temple? You see this beautiful thing? You know, basically the centerpiece of our religion. He says, just wait, not one stone will be left upon another. And this actually happened. You know, in AD 70, which, you know, they would call the abomination of desolation that we read. This is when the Romans literally destroyed the temple. And what happened was that the Romans, they're actually going for the gold. Do you remember each stone by which the temple was built, inlaid in between the stones were actually gold. And so these guys would take the stones out, take the gold, and so literally when it was all said and done, not one stone was left upon another, you know, primarily because of the gold. And so we see this prophecy comes true. And so they go up to the Mount of Olives, and I mean, you can imagine, you know, being a Jewish person, hearing Jesus say that the temple is going to be destroyed, you know, and as a disciple, you're like, well, what does that mean? And so they begin to ask him as they're up in the Mount of Olives. And says, so when is this going to happen? You know, and then this starts this whole teaching, basically about the end times, you know. And he says, hey, you know, just make sure that, you know, the sign of the times that many false Christs will come. You know, and this is a really important aspect for us, that make sure that we're not led astray, right? When Jesus comes back, he's not coming back to live on this earth. Okay, you guys understand that first and foremost. Jesus is coming to take the believers with him, right? He's not coming to hang out, you know, on our planet again, right? The next time he comes, right, he's gonna take the believers, and then when he comes again, right, he's gonna judge the world. And so, you know, you have to have this idea. So when you hear, you know, someone say, oh, you know, this is the Christ or this is the Messiah, you know, we've had, you know, David Koresh, you know, the Davidians, you know, we had Reverend Moon, you know, of the Unification Church, you know, in some ways, you know, even in North Korea, right? You know, Kim Jong-il and their whole belief system pretty much is based in the scriptures. You know, it's Holy Father, Holy Son, and Holy Book, the Juche. Right, and so, you know, we see, you know, a lot of, and all throughout history, there have been so many false Christs, right? When Jesus comes, they're going to blow the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first, right? And then the believers will be gathered like a thief in the night, in the blink of an eye, right? And so, just like elementary Christianity 101, if you hear someone say, you know, that this person is the Messiah or Jesus has come, you can automatically just totally dismiss that, right? And you know, in your, for all you Chinese people here, in your Chinese history, you had a similar thing. I forgot the guy's name, you know, but, you know, one of the guys came and he basically said he was the Christ and he actually took over Nanjing, right? There's actually a nice Andy Lau movie about it, if you're interested. No, I think it was actually Jet Li. I think Lao is in as well. But really interesting, you know. And so we had a Chinese figure that also said that he was Jesus, right? And through the famine, literally millions of people died, right? And so you can easily just rest assured, as soon as you hear that, it's wrong, right? It's false, you know. And so, you know, you need to be very aware. You know, and he talks about this is what's going to happen as we draw closer and closer, right? And so, you know, when you look at Bible prophecy, you have to look at it through a lens, you know, but a lens within a lens, right? And so, like Daniel in chapter 10 that he's talking about, he saw the destruction, he saw the abomination, he saw it coming this time, and then he saw it again later on. You know, and so when we look at prophecy, you have to have the same idea. And it's basically, many times it's wrapped up in what we call kingdom of God theology, right? The kingdom of God is here, but it's also yet to come. It's a lens within a lens, right? And so, you know, we kind of have to understand what Jesus is saying, and we can see the time, and we can see it continue on as well. It's like Joel, his prophecy, right? Joel comes, and, you know, and Acts, you know, happens, right? And Joel prophesied that in the last days, he'll pour forth of his spirit, you know, upon all flesh, right? Now, Joel said in the last days, right? You fast forward, you know, a few, you know, hundreds of years, right? And then the book of Acts happens, and Peter stands up and says, in the last days, right? And you have to think, well, if Joel said in the last days, and then Acts, but now it's 2,000 years, you know? So we must be living in the last of the last days, right? And so it's a lens within the lens, right? You guys can understand? And so he comes to this place and he says, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be hated. Let me tell you, right? This is so prevalent. People hate Christians. You know, I mean, if you figure this out, even in the United States, which is, you know, religious, you know, freedom, you know, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. It's not, right? You know, people hate Christians. You can go to a public school. You can have a Muslim fellowship. You know, you can have a Buddhist fellowship. You can have all these things. You can have a Christian fellowship, right? But if you do any activity outside of that, you're banned. You can't pray in school publicly. You know what I mean? All these things. If you're a Muslim, you can, right? And there's specific rules and regulations all over the world. And then we talked about the Muslim world, you know, and so many restrictions on Christians, right? People hate Christians, you know, and it's, you know, it goes straight from what Jesus is saying, right? That many, you know, will deliver you to tribulation. They'll kill you. They'll be hated by all nations because of my name. It's true. It is absolutely true. You know, I mean, you know, go on the CSW website, right? Every day, you know, Christians in India, in Bangladesh, you know, Sri Lanka, you know, in Burma, you know, in China, you know, all over the world, you know, even, you know, in many places in Africa, right, where there's ethnic cleansing of Christian minorities, right? And they're dying, you know, because of Jesus, right? I mean, this is exactly what's true, you know, and he says, and when this comes, you know, just keep enduring. Keep enduring. You know, verse 14, right? This is a great missiological statement. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. You know when Jesus is going to come back, right? What is the primary prerequisite of the coming of Christ? It's evangelism, right? If you think about it this way, every time that you share Jesus with someone, right, you are bringing forward the coming of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Huh? Every time, right, that you're a witness, you know, every time that you go across culturally or you share Christ with, you know, with a member of your workplace, or, you know, you bring Jesus that much closer, you know, and we talk about, you know, in the world, you know, ending poverty, right? You know, ending global warming, you know, ending, you know, ethnic cleansing, right? I mean, we talk about all these ills, you know, ending disease and cancer and AIDS and all these things. And yes, as human beings, we should be looking for cures and we should be trying to eradicate poverty and all these things. But you know what? The honest to goodness, that's not the answer, right? The answer is Jesus coming back and taking us into a new heaven and a new earth. Right, you know, and so, you know, and the goal of that, right, is the gospel must be preached to every nation, every ethnos, right, every ethnic group, right? And if we can get the Bible translated in every language, if we can get a church in every nation, in other words, every ethnic group, you know, not necessarily a geopolitical, you know, kind of assignment, but more of the ethnic assignment, you know, in terms of different ethnic groups. Like there's China, right? We say Chinese people, but we know there's thousands of different ethnic Chinese, you know, but it's getting the scriptures in their language and a church, right, in their region. You know, and once we complete that task of world evangelization, Jesus will come back. You know, if you didn't figure this out yet, this is why we're missions-minded as a church. You know, it's not just a holy activity. We want Jesus to come back. We know that the hope of the world is Jesus the Christ, his second coming. You know, and so we preach the gospel. And he tells these guys, perilous times are coming. You know, the abomination of desolation. Again, this is when the temple, you know, which happened in AD 70, the temple was totally destroyed. You know, and this is also, you know, if I want to go ahead a little bit, you know, this is also something that's about to come. You know what's sitting on the Temple Mount right now? You guys are aware of, like, Israel. You know what's sitting, right? Yeah, it's the Golden Dome, right? It's the one of the most holiest of Muslim sites. I tell you, something's going to happen to that dome, and World War III is going to break out. I kid you not, right? you know, I know I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, right? But, you know, there's something about that piece of real estate, you know, where the glory of God dwells, and now it's taken over, you know. But, you know, you've seen that big round dome, you know, that's there. That's actually the Temple Mount. So if you ever go to Jerusalem, there's the wall that's there, the Wailing Wall, you know, and that's, you know, the last remaining remnant in some ways of, you know, part of Solomon's, you know, temple and whatnot. And it's really interesting, you know, the whole thing. That's why Jews go there every day and pray and pray and pray and pray, you know, and they wail. I mean, that's why they call it the Wailing Wall. And, you know, waiting for, you know, the glory of God to rise again in that place. And he, you know, and he shares, you know, to them all these things that are going to happen, right? That, you know, again, all these false Christs, you know, people are going to come in his name. They'll mislead people, right? But remember, as soon as you hear that, right, this is two very key things. If you don't understand anything about biblical prophecy, you know, and you don't care to know, just remember these two things. If anyone says that they're Jesus on earth, they're lying, right? They're misled. They're demonic. If anyone ever predicts the day when Jesus is coming, they're lying, right? They're misled. They're demonic. Right, and I tell you what, man, there's so many good Bible teachers, right, that lost their reputation because they felt like they had, like, special information from God. You know, like, well, I mean, some people have passed it, but I don't know if you guys know Calvary Chapel, you know, but Chuck Smith, you know, he's one of the, you know, he's American, right? Very well known. He predicted years ago, but, you know, somehow his reputation still stayed intact. You know, I mean, obviously because he repented. Right, but he predicted, you know, when Jesus was going to come back, and he lost a lot of credibility, you know, during this time. You know, do you guys remember what was her name? Was it the Maranatha movement? No. There was basically this Korean. What was the name? Basically, right, there was this little Korean boy, right, and you know the funny thing is, as a Korean, I'm so ashamed sometimes. Because most of these knuckleheads that do that are mostly Koreans, you know, and stuff. And so, like, religious zealots. And there's one boy, I think it was called the Hosanna movement, or there's one little boy who's quite spiritual, went to heaven or whatnot, and God told him, you know, basically when he was going to come back. And it was October, you know. You guys you remember that, right, Sam? It was huge in the States, right? I mean, mostly Koreans, but a lot of people were taking their kids out of school, you know, getting rid of all their stuff, and they're basically waiting until October 20th, you know, what was it, 1990, you know, something. It was a huge thing globally, and I mean, if you listen to Christian radio during that time, I mean, it was a huge issue. They were called the Berean, it was the Berean movement. And so, you know, and sure enough, the day came, right, and we're still here. You know, I mean, this has happened so many times in history, right? And so much so that I think, like, some of the leaders there, I think they killed them. You know, because, I mean, literally people for years gave up their life because they knew Jesus was coming back, you know? And, quite sad. I do remember, you know, one of the guys on the radio, you know, there was this guy in the States that was really propagating, you know, the whole Berean thing. And, like, the date was, like, October 20th or something. And so he says, can I come on the radio? You know, I want to just share, you know, October 20th. And so he says, I'll let you come, but I want you to come on October 21st, right? And, you know, obviously he didn't show up, but because, you know, nothing happened. But, you know, these things are going to happen, right? So, I mean, we should be very, very aware, you know. And he says, you know, and he kind of closes off his whole thing by saying, you know the seasons, you know, when a fig tree, you know, when the leaves are going, you know, summer's coming, right? And he says, you know, he's telling us as a church, be vigilant, right? Be vigilant, you know, and honest to goodness, like, I really fail in this as a leader as well, right? Because, you know, it's like, yes, we think about Jesus coming back and we're excited and all that stuff, but it's not such a focus for us. You know what I mean? I mean, we're not going to wig out and start getting paranoid and stuff like that, but it should be more of a focus, right? That Jesus is coming back and we should be ready, right? We should be, you know, we're the bride, right? you know, we should be getting ready for our marriage, you know, for the wedding. And, you know, I think part of being getting ready, right, is to put our accounts in order, right? Is the bottom line is to be faithful. You know, don't think, you know, I mean, the whole idea is you never know. It's like a thief in the night, right? And you know, and I mean, me too. I mean, I need to repent before the Lord as well, right? And there's, do you ever get this thought? And it's like, and I used to have it actually a lot more before I was married, and then some before I had kids. But now that I'm married and have kids, you can come back, Jesus. It's okay. But you know, before I was married, I'd be like, Jesus, I'd love for you to come back. But let me get married first. So you guys know what I'm talking about, right? You know, or then now you're married. It's like, Jesus, I'd love for you to come back, but let me have a kid first. You know, and yeah, I gotta repent. You have to repent as well, right? You know, and maybe we don't think of the coming of Jesus to be, you know, such the wonderful thing that it is, and it is, right? Well, let's close our eyes. We'll get into more of it on Tuesday. Again, the office is closed, huh? Tomorrow and the next day, and we'll come back Tuesday morning. You know, we have a 6:20 service, and then 7 as well on Tuesday, so we'll come back for that. Incidentally, I mean, this has nothing to do with anything, but we're having a Super Bowl party at my house on Monday, so if you want to come, it means nothing, but let's spend a moment, let's pray, you know, and just simply asking this simple question: are we ready for Jesus to come back? Are our accounts in order? Are we being that faithful servant? Or have we been abusing His grace? Now let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Now, as Pastor Nate leads us in a song.
You came to us, man. Came to us, man. The very nature, God, pierced for our iniquities as you hung upon the cross. God exalted you to the highest place, gave to you the right to bear the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus we should bow, and every tongue confess that you are Lord. And when you come in glory for the world to see, we will sing, hail to the King in all His splendor and majesty, hail to the King of Kings, Lord Jesus, our God.
We eagerly await.
We eagerly await the coming of the day when the glory of the risen King will shine upon the earth. And rival thrones will fall before the Lord of all, and hail supreme authority in the true. Let's sing that again. We eagerly await. We eagerly await the coming of the day when the glory of the risen King will shine upon the earth. And rival thrones will fall before the Lord of all, and hail supreme authority in the true and living God. And at the name of Jesus we will bow, as every tongue confesses you as Lord. And when you come in glory for the world to see, we will sing.
Let's pray for ourselves, and let's pray, are we ready? Huh? Are we prepared for the coming? Yeah, you better believe that the devil is preparing. You know, I didn't share so much in the talk, but, you know, the rapture, you know, the devil's preparing for rapture. You know what it's called? It's called UFOs. I know I'm going to sound crazy and stuff, but the devil knows the rapture's coming, right? One person be in the field, be gone. You know, one person will be driving a car, be gone, and the other person will be left. It's going to happen. And the enemy is preparing for that, and that's why this whole ridiculousness about UFOs. When the Christians get taken up, the world is going to say, oh, a UFO came, and that's going to be it. Right? The devil is preparing. Are we prepared right now? Well, let's just take a moment and let's go before Jesus, and let's really begin to do business with Him and set our hearts, you know, are right with Him. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Cambodia, and let's pray for Pastor Oh. The Lord will continue to bless him. I know he's going to be seriously writing as he goes to England in a few months. And so let's just pray for real grace for him to finish his PhD. Let's pray for New Life Church and Pastor Tang, and the Lord will continue to bless them in their, especially their evangelism efforts. Pray for the Center of Peace Orphanage, and the Lord will take care of the kids. Let's lift up the Philippines with Solomon's Clinic, and you know, among the leper colony, and for Mr. Chang, and lift up Bhutan, and as a door has been opened for us as a church to enter in, especially this summer. Let's lift them up. Also, it's not on here, but since we're going to miss the next few days, let's pray for Mexico, and let's pray for Fabi, and Soyoung, and Sam, and Stephanie, and you know, the huge team that's out there. Frank has actually been sick. You know, he's got shingles, which is basically adult chicken pox. And then Fabi's mom or grandmom is also ill, and basically the doctor said that she's going to go any day now. And they Fabi emailed us and basically said that every week someone in their team has like had a relative that's died, you know, or gotten extremely ill, you know, and I mean there's a lot of warfare, which goes because You know, right now Mexico, the reigning spirit that that rules over that place right now is the spirit of death, right? And you know, you guys know the stats, right? Like in the last few years, 35,000 people have died. I mean, murdered. You know, through the whole drug wars and whatnot. And so there's something going on, and it's kind of affected the team, especially as they're coming against the spirit. And so let's lift them up as well, huh? Let's pray for our ministries. Let's pray for our IP team and bless GA. And also, in this way, let's really pray that we'd find someone else that would come and lead this ministry. Let's pray for Cascade. Pray for Becky and for the well, the healing ministry, for Larry and all the people that are involved. Let's just really pray that there'll be so much grace upon these ministries to really pray God's purposes and bring healing into people's lives, be it physical, emotional, and spiritual. Let's lift up. Let's pray for Wednesday house churches and you guys meeting tonight? No? Is Tregunter meeting tonight? No? Kowloon meeting tonight? No. I know Causeway Bay is in. It's okay, we just bless them anyway. Pray for a good rest, you know, a good Chinese New Year rest for them, and if, you know, if Kowloon is meeting, just pray for real grace over them and continue to knit each of the hearts together. Let's pray for our SP move. Let's ask God to continue to touch us and give us a real wisdom, you know, over our lives. We're actually, I think we're getting the floor plans back today from our architects, and it's going to be a bit exciting to hear how they laid it out and how many people can fit. And, you know, and according to that, we're going to see if we're going to move forward with this project, you know, with this building. And let's pray that God would just continue to stir us as a church to be generous. You know, to find, you know, especially pray, especially, you know, I know there are a lot of people that were unable to fulfill their pledge. You know, let's pray that they would not feel guilty. I mean, that's not what we want, right? You know, let's pray that God would really just minister to their hearts, and, you know, there wouldn't be a sense of guilt or anything. But at the same time, if they're operating in disobedience, that the Holy Spirit would bring conviction in their life. You know, it's a double-edged sword, right? And so let's just pray for a real grace over, you know, our church members in that way. And as we do the new pledge, let's pray for a real spirit of generosity to flow, you know, through the life of our church. And that we would really see something really wonderful happen through this ministry as we take a step of faith together as a church. Let's continue to pray for the Vine and ask God to continue to bless them in their building search. And as I shared yesterday, we'll actually be taking an offering for them in a few weeks, and we'll start announcing that. And so let's pray that we would be generous as well, not just to our own church, but to others, you know, that are also in the same battle. All right, and so let's just lift up these two moves before the Lord. Pray. Father, we thank you today, God. We bless you, Lord. And yeah, we really, really are excited, God, that you're coming back, Lord. And we know that you are the answer for everything that ills our world today. God, governments can only do so much, God. Commerce can only do so much, Lord. Medicines can only do so much, God. Lord, it's going to be you and your kingdom coming back to this planet, to this earth, Lord, and setting people free. And so help us to be faithful to you, God, in our lives. Help us to be faithful to reach out to others, especially the lost, God. Lord, it's been said, Lord, we'll have eternity to learn more about you. Lord, we'll be worshiping for eternity. We'll be growing in grace for eternity. We'll be growing in knowledge for eternity. We'll be fellowshipping for eternity, God. But we only have one lifetime to win the lost. And so I pray that you put a fire in our bones, God, in our spirit, Lord, to reach out, God, to be missional, Lord, in our lives. We bless you, God. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us this day, God, and be with our church as we take a few days of rest, Lord, to spend time with our families, to rejuvenate ourselves, Lord, and especially for people that families are here. We pray for wonderful times, and we pray that as our church members go home and, you know, meet with their families, God, during this season, especially unsaved ones, Lord, that there'll be a real grace to share Jesus, God, that the spirit and the gift of evangelism would really flow, and a boldness and a courage, God, to share Christ no matter what, Lord, would erupt in our hearts, Lord. Bless those that share, God, this weekend. We thank you, Father, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great, great Chinese New Year, right? Kung Yi Fat Choi and all that good stuff. And if you're breaking your fast today, why don't you come up to the front and we'll do that together.